For half a century, the typical schedule of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival shut down for 3 months right after Halloween. But nothing's been typical the last 2 years, with the pandemic forcing the shutdown of all productions that originated at OSF. The indoor theaters of the festival were dark from March of 2020 until just recently. That's when OSF opened its first ever holiday show, It's Christmas Carol. It features the guys playing the Marx Brothers, the trio at the center of the Coconuts and Animal Crackers in previous seasons of OSF. Mark Bedard as Groucho, John Tufts as Chico, and Brent Hinckley as Harpo. They are not just performers, but also playwrights and composers. Welcome, Brent.
Hello. Thank you. Great being here.
Welcome, John.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
And happy welcome, Mark.
Hello. I'm here as well.
Okay, yeah. So we've solved one major issue, which is that the Harpo character will talk to me. That's a good thing to know. And thank you all for joining us on what must be an ungodly hour of the day for performers.
I mean, it's unusual for sure, but we're happy to be here.
Okay. So how does it feel to be back in stage, on stage, indoors at the Shakespeare Festival, Mark?
Well, it's a kind of a mix of like, wow, it's great to be back in this space. It's been about 7 years since I worked at the festival. I was here like 8 years and then been gone for 7 years. So it's really wonderful to be back, but it's also, of course, strange because everyone's in masks and we're not allowed to run out into the audience and berate people like we used to get to.
Boy, that's like having an arm removed, isn't it?
Yes, right. It's like I'm doing the performance without an appendage. I can't utilize all my tools.
John Tufts, how did you guys get into the business of becoming the Marx Brothers?
Well, they offered us money to do it, and we said okay. that's pretty much how the business worked. Let me think. What was it? Animal Crackers was 2012, and we had all been asked to audition for Animal Crackers. And each of us went in and did a Groucho audition. That was sort of the sides that we were given. And I don't think any of us had any great experience with the Marx Brothers prior to that. I'd seen clips and things like that. But once we started going into rehearsals for Animal Crackers, that's when we started digging deep and watching everything we could and learning how crazy and fun and anarchic they could be. And so it all started with Animal Crackers in 2012.
So, Brent, is your job the hardest in that you don't have to speak much as Harpo?
It is certainly more difficult than John and Mark's job. I have about 30 pockets inside of my coat with various props that I hope I will never forget, but I have to move in and out with quite a lot of alacrity and speed, and I can see a quizzical look on John's face every time we're doing a scene together and a prop is 0.9 seconds late.
Yeah, timing is a big part of this. You got to pull stuff out of those the famous trench coat of Harpo Marx. I mean, does yours have huge panels and stuff in it?
Yeah, it's got about five oversized pockets and two tiny pockets and two normal-sized pockets.
All right. I do remember Harpo Marx pulling things like mailboxes and dogs out of his coat at different times. Yeah, all kinds of fun stuff.
Coffee, yeah.
So, yeah. Mark Bedard, unlike Coconuts and Animal Crackers, the Christmas show has its own particular set of requirements. I mean, it is playing during the holiday season. Was the Dickens story, was it presented to you? Did you guys pick it up? What were the outlines for making this project in the first place?
Well, OSF kind of came to us and was like, we want to come back in a celebratory way. We're going to open with our first ever holiday show. We want you three to write it, and we want it to be celebratory. We want it to have songs and dances and celebrate the holidays and local references and Ashland, and then also Shakespeare. And we were like, okay, so our first task is to figure out where do the holidays and Shakespeare overlap, and we realized, well, other than one play being called Twelfth Night, there's virtually no overlap between those two things. And so when we bandied a bunch of ideas around, and when we landed on spoofing Christmas Carol, we realized, oh, well, we can time travel, we can go wherever we want, and that gives us a lot of leeway while still using the structure of a Christmas Carol. And so that allowed us to go visit the dinosaurs and zombie cops in the future, as well as have one of the stops of Carol Scrutinhouse be that she used to be in the Shakespeare troupe in the traditional Fezziwig section. And so that kind of gave us a lot of both a template to work with, but also a lot of freedom. So that's kind of how we landed on that.
All right, the time travel explains the Tyrannosaurus Rex then. Okay, I wasn't quite putting the pieces together up till now. Obviously, some songs in here as well, and this is primarily, well, John starts it off, but this is a little clip I snagged from my YouTube about, it's a song about Herschel the reindeer stepping in the night Rudolph had too much to drink.
Waiting for him was old Santa Claus, there in a big red sleigh.
Herschel, get him right now, he say.
And they sleigh away, they sleigh so high. That night, old Rudolphino feels so good. Well, he's a fall down dead. So Herschel say, all right, this is my chance. And he take dead Rudolph's pants.
It's a family show.
Every year, he and Santa sail in the sky, delivering goodies to the youth. The boys and girls can be happy now, 'cause now you know the truth.
That's the song.
It's great, John.
So, John, is that actually in the show?
No, sadly. Listening to it now, I'm going, oh, why can't that be in our show? We had it in the show. Originally, it was going to be a part of what we call the Freddy scene. We've changed Fred to a niece, Freddy, and it was going to be part of the Freddy scene, and Chico was going to sing it to the group, and then it was going to turn into like a group number where everybody sings the chorus and whatnot. And then it was cut for time and what story we do have in the show, I guess. And it was, but yeah, I love hearing that song. I was like, oh man, that's clever. That would be funny stuff.
Well, I'm glad you appreciate it. I'm sure the audience does as well. So consider this a YouTube and Jeff Exchange extra to It's Christmas Carol, playing now at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, representing the first indoor show at the festival since March of 2020. John Tufts as Chico Marx, Brent Hinckley as Harpo, and Mark Bedard as Groucho, our guests here on the Jefferson Exchange. You guys were busy before the pandemic. Mark Bedard, I noticed public speaking, coaching, TV acting gigs. Has some of that come back since the bottom fell out with the pandemic?
Yeah, the public speaking coaching never really dropped out. In fact, it kind of went up when the pandemic hit because a lot of people, you know, in business and stuff started to pivot and go, okay, I want to work on some of my own stuff. And the TV stuff came back before theater, so there's been auditions and things. Of course, while I've been writing and acting in this, I haven't been able to do any of that work. I've had to kind of say no to auditions and as well as, pass off some of my public speaking work.
And John, did anybody know why Chico first landed on using the Italian accent?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think I know. Do you guys know?
I think it's from, because they grew up, you know, they were these Jewish brothers in the growing up in the ghetto, and they also were right next door to, like, a lot of Italian families growing up in the same kind of area. And he would often go and gamble with the Italian kids, and so picking up an Italian accent, I believe this is the story, would help him, you know, fit in and stuff like that. And then when they were working on their act, you had that Italian accent in his back pocket, and so it just, they kind of used what they had lying around the house oftentimes.
The obviously the seasonal reference brings me back to Chico Marx and the line from the contract scene in A Night at the Opera that would be tailor made for inclusion in this show in some form. I'm trying not to give it away. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, the sanity clause scene.
Yes, exactly.
It's brilliant and yeah, that's from Night at the Opera, right?
Yep.
That's so good. But we don't want to give royalties to anybody else, so we're keeping that all for our pockets.
Brent, how do you guys divide up the duties? I was getting impressed with you as the composer, and then I realized you all listed each other as composer and playwright. So how do you guys, how does this all come together?
Well, you know, when we first started talking about it, of doing the project, and when OSF came to us to do it, I was really excited about it, and Mark has experienced. He had adapted Coconuts already, and had written a play called The Cuckoo Bleeds, and so he had the most experience with actually putting pen to paper, or typing on a computer. And the brilliant wordsmith that he is, and that John are, I just kind of sit there and laugh. I think part of my writing contribution is to not get in the way of their funniness, and if I laugh, they know it's funny and it stays. And if I kind of cringe a little bit, they know to move on.
So in terms of then when you guys get on stage, I mean, obviously a lot of the lines are written out, but things will occur to you in a rehearsal process. And so, you know, somebody scribbling down all the ideas you had in a rehearsal and say, let's save that. Let's use that.
Yes, we're doing a lot of that scribbling. So as people are doing scenes, we're making notes of going, oh, maybe the punchline would be better if it ended like this as opposed to like that. And then we also have a script supervisor for our show, this wonderful person named Hal Day. And Hal would make notes of every improv line that we would come up with. And then at the end of each rehearsal, come up to us and say, do you want this improv line to stay in the script? Or you know, should we just put it on the back burner for a later day, that kind of thing? So we had a list of all the things that we were generating in the space. And then we could decide if some of those were going to be useful or not. And that's kind of how we came up with stuff on our feet.
So let me understand, did you guys work together as the Marx Brothers before the Oregon Shakespeare Festival?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, when we were cast in 2012, I can't speak for John and Brett, but I basically crapped my pants. I was like, what? We're going to play the most iconic, some of the most iconic comedians of the last century, and we have to do it for 120 performances over 10 months. So, you know, we really, you know, watched every movie, listened to every radio show, read every book, you know, get our hands on so that we could play these parts. I had zero experience before we had, you know, and then we had to like develop chemistry with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we went on several dates, you know, for that. But
well, obviously it's working, and OSF asked you to actually be the center of this, but you're not the only people. The Marx Brothers characters are not the only ones in the show. Who else is in this cast?
Well, the cast of 11. Oh gosh. I don't want to name it because I'm afraid of early in the morning. I'm going to forget someone.
Okay. I want to thank all the good people of the cast is what to say here, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's been such great work. There's, you know, Razz of Brass and very
right.
Memorable.
COVID protocols in place, obviously, at the Bomer Theater. You started November 23rd. You run through January 2nd. Is that right?
That's right, through January 2nd.
All right. It is called It's Christmas Carol. This is the first ever holiday season special. And you guys are doing this again next year, too. Is that right?
That's right. Before we even opened this show, they agreed to put it on for next year, so they have a lot of faith in us.
Okay, they really do. Okay, It's Christmas Carol marks the return to the stage of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival's own cast. We're talking to Mark Bedard as Groucho Marx, John Tufts as Chico, and Brent Hinckley as Harpo. Guys, thanks for joining us on The Exchange in the middle of your night.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, take it easy.